Hey, teammates, welcome back to another episode of It's All About the Team. And now we're back in the huddle. Get a chance to go back and review some of the great takeaways from our last 9 or 10 episodes. And we're going to hit three key component parts as we're back in the huddle. The first we're going to talk about is the value of responsibility. Our second topic will be taking that educator's mindset. And our third topic for the day will be meet them where they are. Let's start talking about responsibility. So we're talking about the value of responsibility. Sometimes you like to describe it as the gift of responsibility. In other contexts, we talk about what do you have to do to earn responsibility. Whichever way we're discussing it, in my mind, there isn't anything more valuable in your career than your ability to gain responsibility, to gain experiences. From my lifetime, I'll never forget that I was interviewing for my first job out of college as a graduate assistant coach, and it was down to Penn State University with Joe Paterno and the University of Akron with Coach Jim Dennison, and I was kind of taken by the shiny Penn State big-time program, indoor practice field, big name, and after interviewing both places, I proudly said to my dad, "Dad, I'm going to Penn State to be a grad assistant." And he said, "No, you're not. You're going to the University of Akron." And I said, "Well, Penn State, Coach Paterno, been to Orange Bowls, John Cappelletti, Heisman Trophy winners, huge stadium, indoor practice field. Dad, I think I'm going to go to Penn State." He said, "No, you're going to the University of Akron." I said, "Well, why?" And he said, "Well, two things. Great respect for Coach Dennison, as I do for Coach Paterno, but at the University of Akron, you're going to get responsibility. Did you notice how many coaches were at Penn State?" he asked. I said, "Yeah, there are about 20. He said, "Well, did you notice how many coaches were on the staff at the University of Akron?" I said, "Well, yeah, there were 4. He said, "Did you notice how many grad assistants they had at Penn State?" And I said, "Yeah, they had 8, and there's a couple open, and that's why I have a chance." And he said, "How many at the University of Akron?" I said, "1. I'd be the only one." He said, "Responsibility is more valuable than anything you can get. You're going to the University of Akron." And it was one of the great lessons. Thank goodness I had someone in my life that could tell me what was more important than what. And as you're thinking about where you are in your career, where you are on your team, where you are in along your set of goals, never discount the importance of responsibility. It truly is valuable. And when you get it, it's truly a gift. And make sure you take advantage of that gift. When you don't have it, now is the time to show people that you deserve it. Why should we give you more responsibility? What have you demonstrated so that we could trust that that responsibility that we might give you, that you would execute that responsibility? Nothing more important in a career than responsibility. We're going to look at some film clips from Jay Schottenstein and two coaches, Coach Gruden and Coach Golish. And in their own ways, they're going to talk about their experiences and their understanding of the value of responsibility and maybe some of the ways that they sought out and were able to obtain responsibility along the way.
When I started working when I was 21, I was in the office for a couple of days. He goes, "What are you doing here?" I went out to the stores, and he wasn't that diplomatic. And for the first year and a half, I traveled, and I had to learn it. It wasn't like someone was holding your hand. You had to learn it. And then I became the youngest store manager at 23, and he expected stores to be run a certain way, and there was no excuses. You had to do it. And he let you do it, and he let you make mistakes. Mm-hmm. You're going to make mistakes, but you have to own up to your mistakes. If you never own up to your mistakes, you're going to keep making that same mistake over and over. So the one thing my dad and my uncles drilled in me, you can make mistakes, but own up to them. Mm-hmm. Because if you own up to them, you're going to figure out how to fix them and not make them again.
You just heard from one of the great retailers in all of the world, and he reminds us that you're fortunate when you're given responsibility, you're fortunate when you have the opportunity to go out and make mistakes, and you learn very quickly that you have to take responsibility for your responsibility. Let's take a listen to Coach Gruden as he talks about how he went out and viciously sought responsibility.
Loyalty and hard work. Mm-hmm. So I decided I was going to be the hardest working GA of all of them. Mm-hmm. So I'd get in there at 4 o'clock in the morning. I'd splice the tape together. I remember Walt Harris, you know, coming in there after a game Saturday, they would come in first thing Sunday morning. And a lot of these coaches, as you know, they get in there at 5 a.m.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I would take the end zone copy and the all-22 sideline yep. copy, and I would intercut it. So these coaches would walk in, and they're watching the film, and they're like, who in the hell did this? Santa Claus? Is Santa Claus there? I said, I wasn't bragging. I said, I put that tape together. I was the best film splicer ever.
That was back when you were splicing.
I learned football doing this stuff.
All right.
And then, you know, I got a little bit more and more responsibility. I'd get to sit next to Walt Harris in the press box. He said, don't ever talk to me. Just give me a little, he gave me these little yellow stick-em
posted. Yeah,
write it down, stick it in front of me.
Now let's watch a clip from Coach Golish at the University of South Florida. And it's just a reminder that you never know where the responsibility's going to be coming from. It might not be something that's marquee. You might not have a big brand. But when you go and have a chance for responsibility, you have a chance to grow.
And that was my first initial tie.
Okay.
But no, same year. And Jay, okay. Jay was in, lived in Worthington and transferred over, I think, our sophomore year. And literally graduated at the same time. And then I ended up being in the same room with Jay.
Wow, right? Coaching him.
Yeah,
coaching him. You went to school with him, and you're the same age coaching him. Now think about that.
That was really the first time. I was like, man, like, this is a year-round deal here.
Mm-hmm.
And did a really good job of forcing accountability, building a culture of accountability, I guess, would be the mm-hmm. biggest thing. And for me, trying to figure it all out, if I got anything out of that experience, was you're accountable to the guys in your group. And some of my best friends still to this day, guys that played with in high school.
And now listen as Coach Golish talks about opportunity and responsibility at the next level.
I don't know if I would have had any level of success compared to what I've been fortunate to have offensively if I didn't coach defense. And now, and Matt Campbell will tell you this too, I didn't want to do it because it was uncomfortable. I didn't want to do it because I thought, man, I'm 20, whatever, four, like I'm coaching whatever the safeties at the Division I, like, man, I'm well on my way. And, and you know, at that point I was going to get there as fast as I could, and this was going to hold me up. And, and it did. It probably slowed me down a little bit in a good way. And I got to learn, obviously, from Matt, who I think is one of the really, really incredible coaches in our game right now, and got to be in an awesome room offensively. There's several of us that are head coaches now in that room. And it was an incredible experience there at Toledo. But, yeah, that very first year coaching running backs, and Matt helped me in a big way, taught me the biggest lesson.
Now let's talk about the educator's mindset. Let's think about how can we most effectively build our team. And if we have the opportunity to work with those team members, we need to take on that educator's mindset. And we have to think about what are we trying to educate them on? What are we trying to help them grow? If it's just about how many items they might sell or how many touchdowns they might score or what they might do for the organization, I think we're selling it a little bit short. The educator thinks about how they can impact the whole person, how they can help the whole person grow. We've talked often on many episodes about the fact they don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. That's the educator's mindset. We first have to reach them as a human, reach them on a personal level, reach them on a genuine level, and help them learn the things that will help them throughout life. And then we'll have a chance for them to grow within whatever the technical responsibility they have or the job they happen to do. But if we always remind ourselves to take the educator's mindset, the mindset of a parent, isn't that what a parent does? Is they help educate their children to help them be ready for the future. Well, that's what we do trying to build a team out in the world, is we take that educator's mindset, add value, make sure we care, then we get them ready to do whatever job that the team needs. Let's hear a clip here from Coach Matt Campbell, who I think does as good a job as anyone in a highly competitive field where the scoreboard is very important, where the wins and losses and the statistics really drive almost everything. He has that great ability to have that educator's mindset.
One of the great things about football in our sport is that it's really been able to, no matter what the level has, is to teach such unbelievable foundations of character, accountability, selflessness, and this unity that it is bigger than you. And, you know, I think what's happened is there's so much financial gain, whether the high school aspect of it and you know, maybe not as much, but at least in the collegiate world, you know, we've made it such a transactional journey that we've lost the reality that we're dealing with 18-year-old young men, that we our real responsibility is to create 22-year-old men that are great fathers, husbands, community servants, get an unbelievable degree and have a chance to impact their communities.
Hey teammates, I want to tell you about a project we're working on with Youngstown State University. One of the ways Ellen and I have decided to give back is through the Trestle Institute for Leadership and Teamwork. We've collected a set of successful business and nonprofit leaders to serve as guest servant leaders in partnership with the Sokolov Honors College to teach university students teamwork, leadership, and personal skills. We teach from a foundation built on gratitude, excellence, hope, love, and selflessness. If you're a young person or parent helping to search for a unique college experience, you can learn more at trestleinstitute.ysu.edu or ysu.edu. Links will be provided in the show notes.
Let's hear a clip from Brandon Krestowski. He gave us five great tips that really personify what the educator's mindset is all about.
How do you train? Like, what's your approach to training? And I always boil it down to these five things. You know, I say you meet someone where they're at, you know, like you're going to meet someone who they are, what they look like, what they sound like. You have to meet them where they're at.
Yep.
Okay. And then you have to take them to where they want to go. A lot of these employers are saying, well, I can't find worker. I can't, because you keep, money is not the motivator. Put someone's life ahead of yours and take them to where they want to go.
Yep.
The benefit's going to be your business. Your business, right? I mean, like, they're going to benefit in their life, but the benefit after that's going to be your. Quit putting the money first and your business first. Try putting them first and your. It's upside down philosophy, Jim. And like a lot of employers just don't get it. But I mean, you meet someone where you're at, you take them to where they want to go, you know, you teach to the top. Practice makes perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. All right, you make sure you show them the entire perspective of where they're at, right? You show them every role and every position. So someone here at Edwin's, and this hits on the point that you said, they work the pastry, they work the host, they work this.
Yep.
I've led every restaurant in my career like that. You show someone the entire ship so that when they get into a role, they know how to play everyone else's role and what the effect, you know, does. The fourth rule I say is care. Mm. And look, you don't have to go out and build campus and childcare center. Ask somebody how they're doing. Hey, you're late today. Why are you late? Dude, you all right? Because you're not normally late. You're usually a great employee. Like, I just understand. You know, my sister's going through. You know, then you start to like. I mean, it's super easy, man. Just ask them how they are. And then the fifth thing is get out of the way. Because so often in life, people want this beholden to them. Like, you owe me. No, I don't owe you. You don't owe me nothing.
Right.
I'm just going to get out of the way. Know that we're always here and fly.
You know, Brandon Krestowski's first point within that last soundbite was meet them where they are. That's so critical. As we work with people, we always want to talk about having an awareness of where they are and what's going on in their lives, and then a compassion as we begin to try to make a difference. Let's look at a soundbite from Coach Ted Ginn at the Ginn Academy, who clearly understands the concept of meet them where they are.
When a kid come into your classroom, that's your world. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's your job to teach him how to live in your world. You can't beat him down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So let's talk about their world. What if they took you to their world?
Right.
Their world might be totally different. He got to walk past boarded up homes. He might be living by candlelight, you know, nothing in his refrigerator. Not everybody, but their world is different.
Yep.
So if they treated you differently in their world, let me see you go to the football field. Their world might be in between the lines.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And they tripping you and pushing you and don't teach you. Well, it's the same thing here. You know, in high school, we have these things when kids do things. You know, the first thing a teacher gonna come to you and say, well, I don't think he need to play football Friday. You know, I don't like that.
No.
You know what I'm saying? I say, do you think that this young man acts any different in your classroom than he do on the field? No, he say damn on the field. He'll say damn in your classroom. Mm-hmm. You understand? I said, but I don't come to you and tell you, don't you teach him English because he said damn on the football field.
Right. As we learn from Coach Ginn, let's move to another great educator, in my mind, one of the greatest educators I've ever been around, Dr. Jennifer Merritt. And she talks about that awareness factor, that trauma-informed teaching, and that's a special skill. You know, we never know what trauma someone's going through. We used to always challenge our staff, treat everyone like they're hurting, because you just never know how they're hurting. Let's listen to Dr. Jennifer Merritt.
Trauma-informed means, again, understanding that the behaviors that a student might be displaying are not just because, you know, and I always say when I talk to people about trauma, there is no student who just wants to be a bad child. Nobody enjoys the negative feedback that they get from a behavior. No child just, you know, anticipates or thrives on being treated poorly or being responded to negatively because of their own behaviors. But what happens is when trauma, those adverse experiences, things that are happening, there's you know, a one-time exposure to trauma, perhaps, you know, witnessing something, and there's complex trauma. There's trauma that happens over and over and over again, being in an abusive home, having parents with substance abuse, mental health issues, living in poverty, not having access to clean water, electricity, the heat is off, they don't have clean clothes because they're washer and dryer, ongoing things, you know, mom's not coming home at night, so they're getting siblings ready. They don't know how to feed their siblings. There's no food in the home. Those are complex traumas. They're traumas that just go on, and typically it's more than one issue, and they're kind of interrelated. So those students, you know, don't appreciate, or they don't really, you know, they're not looking for that negative response from us. So we have individuals in the building, again, from our maintenance person to our deputies who sit at the door and decide who comes in and who doesn't. Everybody takes that trauma-informed training to understand how we respond to our students, how we de-escalate situations, how we're going to understand what's causing the behaviors.
Dr. Merritt's one of the best. Now let's get one more soundbite from Coach Ginn talking about you've got to meet them where they are and make sure you have the right hook.
And I'm a fisherman as a little boy, but you just couldn't go to stick a pole in the water and think that you know what's in the water. I say, this is why I say a lot of you all have bluegill syndrome. I say, you leave home, you're going fishing, you come to Ginn Academy, you got this big catfish hook on your pole, okay? And on that, you say, I'm going to catch me a big catfish today, right? Soon as you bait up your pole and you put the little red and white bobber on, you throw it in the water, soon as it hit the water, it starts doing like this. You sitting there waiting for, you know it's a catfish. After a while, it stopped. You pull the pole up and your worm is
gone.
You bait it back up again, throw it back in the water, as soon as it hit the water. Like that. You sitting there, you waiting. After a while, you put it up, bait gone, nibbled you to death. I say, you do that several times, this is your time. After a while, you get frustrated, you get tired. You mad at the fish right. That you can't see.
Right.
But you just know that it's a catfish and you got this big hook, but you got a tackle box sitting next to you. You understand? After a while, you're time, you're tired, and you say, you're mad at the fish. I say, till you find out that you sit back and make an adjustment with your hook. You understand? You got a smaller hook in there.
Yep.
They're biting. But you already got your mind made when you left home. It's a catfish and you're going to catch it. So just like you do with the kids, you come here and you assess them the way you want to instead of who they are.
That's right. Wrong hook.
Wrong hook. You got a cat. You waiting for you you fishing for catfish in a bluegill pond. They mouth this big. They nibbling you to death and you mad at them.
Hope you enjoyed talking about three concepts with us today. The value of responsibility. Can't put a price tag on it. The educator's mindset. We're all educators, whether it's within our family, our companies, our teams. We have to have that educator's caring mindset. And then we have to always meet them where they are, whoever they is, understanding their situation, being aware of what may be challenging and going on in their life, and then being compassionate and trying to help them through that as they seek to be a great teammate. Thanks so much for joining us, and until the next time, remember, it's all about the team.